Welcome back.
Welcome back.
It's time for media stuff.
Media update.
So, do you want to start with the good or the bad?
Let's start with the ugly.
Whoo! Good times.
How then? Listen, you was right. That's why you my co-host, because you already knew what I was. Man, that shit looked like trash, dog.
Steph Curry took two L's this week.
Fam. I don't know what they was thinking. But that show, that the Good Times animated series reboot, I guess if you want to call it, almost don't got any resemblance to the original Good Times, other than the fact that they both take place in Chicago, right?
The original Good Times is all like, we got it rough, but we'll make the best of what we got, right?
The original Good Times was a story about, an endearing story about a family who was trying to uplift themselves throughout the poverty of 1970s Chicago. Right? I believe 1970.
So you know, Shameless before Shameless.
Yeah, 1974. No, nothing like Shameless, sir. This was like Cosby's, but in the hood, right? Like, this was the kind of show that showed a positive narrative of po-black ghetto life, right? Because at this point, you know, the only resemblance we had to that were stereotypes and blaxploitation
and
films. A Raisin
in the Sun.
A Raisin in the Sun if he was cultured enough. But in 1974, a show aired on network television created by Mike Evans and Norman Lear and Eric Monte that revolutionized the way America would see black life in America. Nor does the rest of black ass internet feel like this reboot does the show any kind of justice to carry the same moniker as the original TV show.
When you started giving me your scathing review, my first thought was, why would Steph put his name on this?
Why would he put his name on it? I don't know.
Somebody who so carefully curates their public image.
Yeah.
Puts his name on this. The guy that does a game show about mini golf.
It looks like Norman Lear and Seth MacFarlane. So Norman Lear is the only one from the original series that is attached to this, I believe. Seth MacFarlane is also attached to it. So, you know, this is a Family Guy ilk. Which is why...
Layup jokes all over the place.
Which is why it has almost no resemblance to the original Good Times.
Seasons 1 through 3 of Family Guy were so good.
The 10-episode series, the 10-episode animated reboot of the original 1970s Good Times show is being produced by Steph Curry and Unanimous Productions alongside Norman Lear and Seth MacFarlane. All the 10 episodes are on Netflix as of now. It does have some notable fucking names to it, like J.B. Smoove, Yvette Nicole Brown,
yeah.
Jay Farrow, and it's like, so these are people who we trust, right?
And like, I just keep thinking, I'm like,
Slick
all
Johnson.
Of this talent put together, like, how big was the check and how poor was the communication?
The execution seems to be terrible at... Currently, it is sitting at a 3.6 out of 10 on IMDb. I don't know what, you know, like the Rotten Tomatoes or the Metacritic score.
Still better than, or the Society of Magical Negroes.
I mean, anything is probably better than that. I haven't seen, nor will I watch. I don't know. I might fuck around and watch an episode of the Good Times animated reboot, but it...
Internet has certainly not been kind.
I cannot condone it. Not when we sit in the same breath and space as X-Men 97. No, I just cannot. It does not make sense to me how that show can be saying all of the things while also handling all of the criticism, and then fucking they decide to do.
I'm wondering why the fuck they're doing this.
tube up your butt, you funnel the beer in.
I can't believe you've done this.
I don't know what I expected.
Apparently, there are talks about rebooting Lord of the Rings with Peter Jackson.
Rebooting Lord of the... For what? This is what I mean. Like, why did we reboot Good Times? Why did we reboot Good Times? You know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot thing, that was cool, right? Because it was a new perspective. It was a whole different way to tell the story. That's fine. I didn't feel great about it. But it felt like enough to at least sit down and watch.
I mean, some reboots are great. Look at the new Masters of the Universe reboot. Those last two seasons have been fucking awesome.
What about Lord of the Rings, though, at this point? Because didn't they just do a Lord of the Rings?
They did the Lord of the Rings Rings of Power series, which is about Galadriel and the Nine Rings.
And
the three rings for the Elven Kings, the seven for the Dwarven Lords, and nine for the Realms of Men.
So it's a series about the rings being formed, right? Wait, so did they feel like this that did well enough for them to reboot what is widely considered the, like, just perfect, probably the most perfect book to movie adaptation that has ever been produced?
Yeah, no, there's not a single Lord of the Rings book fan that I've ever met that is like
disappointed.
That is disappointed in those movies.
Right?
Like, it's
Harry Potter fans, Blade Runner fans, like, name it, you name it.
Harry Potter fans even have shit to pick about. Like Lord of the Rings, everybody's like, shit. Yeah, they kinda nailed it.
Ready Player One was like fan service in literature form. Even those fans found something to complain about when the movie came out.
Like, the
right?
thing, I mean, that actually doesn't surprise me because they didn't fan service correctly.
But why now?
Like, there's a few things. One, as far as technological cinema is concerned,
Lord of the Rings was pretty ahead of its time.
Also, so much of it was done the real way.
Yeah.
That, like, sure, what are you going to add by
give it the Marvel
faking
treatment?
The things that they filmed in the original one?
It is like when Disney and Lucasfilms went through and remastered all of, like, yeah, that is literally what the reboot.
Well, the remastering of the original Star Wars, I think, was fine. They needed visual touch-up.
I guess, right? Maybe, but
why remake? Like I said it when we were talking in the chat, like, the Lord of the Rings production still holds records for, like, the most demanding shit that people have ever done in movie production.
So why make Hollywood do that again? At a time where Hollywood is, like, on fucking a respirator, dog. They barely made it out of the writer's strike.
Like,
and you're telling me,
What else can Peter Jackson do with this story? You're getting the same director too? Like,
that's crazy, bro. Yeah, no, that doesn't even make sense. It literally, it's wild because on top of
Peter
that,
Peter Jackson didn't even want to do the Hobbit trilogy.
When you look at the budget too, that kind of movie demands, it does, okay, like, we also talked about this, right? Like, it makes sense as to why smaller budget movies aren't being made, but what Hollywood needs right now are hungry directors who are willing to work with smaller budgets to make interesting movies to bring people to the theaters again. But no. The suits all think that what we want is another Marvel movie and another remastered reboot with the new technology so we can see the fucking, so we can see the orcs drool? I don't understand.
Just remaster the extended cuts and release those in theaters. You know how many people haven't had time to sit through four fucking DVDs of content?
I mean,
the Lord of the Rings movies.
I can't.
They don't need to be redone.
They don't.
They're one of the, like, there's no lazy green screening. Because it was all filmed on location in New Zealand.
It's not like there's a Starbucks cup in the middle of a fucking trekking scene that got left in.
Or somewhere. They have to sci-fi any crazy lasers. These motherfuckers are fighting with swords.
Or digitally ed out like a midget that decided to hang himself because the workloads were too heavy.
What?
Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
You don't? Okay. Anyway, bro, I'm saying, like, it's ridiculous, right? And what's extra ridiculous is to me,
Shout out Rob Dyrdek?
How loud we keep saying it's ridiculous, but Hollywood keeps going, okay, so we're gonna do it anyway, though. You know we're gonna do it, right? Like, you're not gonna get anything interesting because this is guaranteed to make us money. You niggas are gonna go see it anyway. You motherfuckers are going to watch the animated Good Times reboot.
I just to see how bad it is. Out of curiosity, almost hit play on it.
Just to see how bad it is.
And then the problem is I also, while I was pondering, I was like, you know what? I'm probably these motherfuckers' ideal audience, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with Lord of the Rings, though, right? Like, we go to see, like, what they change. Like, and they know it. They know we will go to see what they change because they refuse to make anything else, right?
I'm gonna sound like an asshole for this. Yes, diversity in casting is very important. Do we have to remake the entire fucking Lord of the Rings trilogy to do it?
Is that what you think they're gonna change? Just make it more diverse?
I guarantee you they will.
There's a new Transformers movie coming out. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it. This one's animated, right? And it's about Optimus and Megatron before they were, like, the leaders of their factions and stuff like that.
When they were both just still young. Transformers, all in Cybertron, before the division of the Allspark.
I'm conflicted, right? Cue the Kendrick. I'm conflicted, right? Because, once again, this is probably not aimed at me, right? Like, it's not... I'm not the target demographic for this. I'm an outlier for this. Like, they're hoping I go see the movie, too. But it's really just, like, to get the Gen Alpha's hype because they saw Bumblebee and
I feel like the way you're thinking about this is the way I thought about the Sonic cartoon on Netflix. Like, I hit play on Sonic for a couple of minutes. I'm like, no, this isn't for me. I know the movies are good for me,
Sonic
but
Boom
this
is,
isn't for me.
Sonic Boom is pretty funny. Don't sleep on Sonic.
But I'm being like...
I'm just... Hey, look, if I could put you on to some, you know, mindless kids content.
Have you watched Slug Terra?
No, I have not.
I watched the entirety of Slug Terra when I was living at Avery's house. Because Avery was watching Slug Terra.
Well, now, speaking of Sonic, though, you know, Sonic versus Shadow is getting ready to drop, right? And it's like...
Keanu Reeves is casting as Shadow.
And which, it went, fire casting, makes, by the way.
Which is a great casting, but at
who
the same time, I'm like...
Who else?
I couldn't even tell Idris Elba with Knuckles.
Who else would have been Shadow? Like, Jason Statham?
Gerard Way?
No, it would have had to have been Pedro Pascal.
Do you know who Gerard Way is?
No.
He's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, Pedro Pascal. No, it's Keanu Reeves, which, you know, cool. If anybody was going to be Shadow, I'm okay with it being Keanu Reeves, especially since we're not getting Jim Carrey in this movie.
Yeah.
But, like, also,
which is fine, because doing Dr. Egghead and Shadow would be a lot.
Am I the target demographic for this movie, though? Right? Like, who is the target demographic for this movie? Who is the target demographic for the fucking Lord of the Rings reboot? Is it for people who have already seen Lord of the Rings? If so, I think most of them are going, yeah, no, the last one was great. Why are we doing this again?
Yeah, those movies are long enough that you will forget shit unless you watch those movies, like, literally every...
Who is the target demographic for the new fucking Ghostbusters movie, right? Like, I'm sure it's Gen Xers, right? Because they probably have enough disposable income to go see that shit again. But it does feel like Hollywood doesn't know who to make movies for, so they try to make movies that will fit every demographic.
I saw this great. Have you seen the Dr. Manhattan meme format where he's on Mars and it's like everything's happening at once?
Oh, yeah.
First Rock, it's like, it's 1986. I'm seeing Dune and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's 2020. Yeah. I'm seeing Dune and Ghostbusters.
But that's literally...
It's 2024. I'm seeing Dune and Ghostbusters.
That's literally the timeline we're living in, bro. It's Looper. We're living in, like, fucking Looper, right? Except for everything is just slightly different every time it loops over again. And they wonder why everybody's going crazy.
Garcia's onto something.
They have us living in a fucking Mandela effect, bro. And it's like, and now we get to the point where we're, like, fucking arguing, like...
We're in a world lit by gaslights.
Yeah. Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Speaking of gaslighting... Is it safe?
It is okay to give spoilers of X-Men 97 episode 6 at this point.
To me, my X-Men.
You mean to tell me Charles was out on a love tryst this entire
on
time?
On Charles?
You mean to tell me Charles was out getting his fucking notebook on, just tripping across the stars with his little boo thing this entire time? Meanwhile, Genosha
is on fire. Good. And Scott needs therapy.
Scott, everybody need fucking therapy after that, bro. First of all, the only person... I love how the only person getting something close to therapy was probably Storm,
yeah.
Right? As she was...
With Forge.
Dealing with her... First of all, not only...
Forge the therapist or was the adversary?
It was definitely her claustrophobia, as the adversary, and Forge used that against her in order to force her to get her powers back, but we won't
she
talk about that.
She went full queen, got the full white mana air back.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, you
that
love to see
it. That iconic Storm look.
You love to see it, the full emo.
And she,
not only did she have
her long hair back, but she was wearing the Queen of Wakanda outfit.
Oh, I peep, did her little emote, her little prance across the sky before she flew with the horses. Oh, I saw all the symbolism.
They made her look like the goddess she deserves to be.
The Omega level mutant that she is. I believe Storm is Omega.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
her power is...
Planet-ending. Like,
she controls the weather, and that's the description of her power. Like, you don't have to do any of these other qualifiers or anything. If it sounds that broken, it's because it's that broken.
I do believe in order to qualify as an Omega level mutant, she has to have planet ending capabilities.
It has to be a mutant power where the upper limits cannot be measured.
Planet ending capabilities. And yes, I do effectively
believe... That's why Rogue is a 7 on all of the... Like, 7 being the max of all the Marvel scaling things.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe, though, that controlling the weather is a planet-ending capability.
Absolutely.
Great. This really is, like, the best piece of Marvel content we've gotten in a while.
Honestly, probably Endgame. Since Loki season 1.
Yeah, and you know me. I'm not like a Marvel hater. I'm not like the rest of these people here with like Marvel fatigue that are like, oh, She-Hulk is terrible.
I have Marvel fatigue.
The Marvels
is
forgettable.
I want Marvel to do better. Like, I don't want to see Marvel fail.
I don't think that personally, I don't think Marvel's doing terrible. I just think that not everything is going to be fucking Endgame. Right? Like, not everything is going to be Luke Cage in them. Not everything is going to be Jessica Jones, and y'all niggas have to be okay with that.
You gotta deal with the Iron Fists every now and then.
No, Iron Fist is terrible. Get that shit all the way the fuck out of here.
Like I said, for every Jessica Jones and, you know...
She-Hulk is fine, though.
She-Hulk was... Meh.
She-Hulk was meh.
Way too much budget for what the show actually is. Like, if you're gonna do a legal comedy, they don't have to be $80 million an episode.
She-Hulk or Iron Fist.
I mean, can I just watch Punisher again?
No, but you can watch Morbius, though.
I mean, that would take less time.
Or Madam Web. How about that? Have you seen Madam Web yet?
No, but that sounds entertaining on a whole different level.
Yeah, no, I have not watched that yet.
There was one video, like the 3 days after that movie came out, I saw a YouTube video, and the guy opens the video with, "So I've seen Madam Web 7 times, and here are my thoughts." And I'm like, I don't even want to watch this video.
Yeah, no, I'm not about to
because
watch
it. You're either going to be so angry or delusional, and there's no in between.
I'm not about to watch a dude mansplain Madam Web to me. I don't need that. I'll just go watch the terrible movie myself.
Who watches any movie on release weekend 7 times?
Especially if it's terrible, bro. What's not terrible, though, is X-Men 97. If you're not hip, get hip. I'm telling you, it is one of the best things on television right now. It's fucking Shogun, Fallout, X-Men 97, baby.
We need to get hip to Shogun. I'm all the way through Fallout.
And don't sleep on the house, the Fall of the House of Usher. Netflix has some real, like, sleeper content. Also, don't sleep on the Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot. That shit is also fire. You said the new season of
Invincible?
Yeah, Invincible.
Oh, Invincible. Fucking fire.
Listen, it's amazing.
Invincible is incredible, and you know it will be coming out soon? I think the release date has been announced, but I can't remember the exact date. I just remember it's before July. The Boys! Season 4.
That's it, baby. That's it. All right. Do we have any other media updates?
Well, we do have some updates on the Blade movie.
Let's talk.
It is right now basically boiled down to Mahershala Ali killing vampires.
Hey, since we're talking Marvel, let's talk.
That's apparently where the script is. It's that bare bones.
So they were having director issues, right? I do believe they have, changed directors here at least once or twice now. Mahershala Ali almost walked off because of creative differences. So
multiple script rewrites.
I think if he is okay with the current state of the film, then we have one of two things to assume. He's like, man, at least fucking pay me at this point. Or, he's okay with the direction. And, like, I don't know what else we really want from a Blade. Right? Like,
What kind of creative differences do you think Mahershala Ali would present about a Blade?
That's what I'm like. What else is there to... So, I'm not saying that the Blade character doesn't have a narrative or, like, a story to tell. Obviously,
I mean, we know that's not true. Looked this up. Like, Blade, the character, was born in 1929 in London.
So, there are directions that you can take with this, right? Like, there, you don't have to go full-loaded X-Men woke on everybody and get the woke police after you, right?
However, he would be about mid, late 30s, early 40s by the time the X-Men hit the scene.
I am wondering what kind of direction they were trying to take this character in, though, that has things so shaken up like this, right? Is it a budget thing? I would like to know more. I'll probably dig a little bit more into what the behind the scenes drama is, especially considering that this is the update we're getting. But also to play devil's advocate, I feel like it could be a good thing for the Blade movie, right? Like, don't overcomplicate it, don't make it bloated. I feel like that's what
they
tried.
We don't need Blade to immediately fit into the multiversal war.
I feel like that's what they tried to do with the Marvels. That's what they tried to do with the Eternals.
If they're going to do any crossover tie-in with Blade, I think there is only one character that they should do it with. Who
Morbius.
Is it? Morbius. God damn it.
Kill this nigga Morbius. Kill him off.
Daredevil.
Oh. Fair. I mean, that would be cool, right?
Or Punisher. But more likely Daredevil, considering Disney is already actively working with Daredevil. And I think they're waiting for fascism to die to do anything.
I feel like a Blade movie was a misstep. I feel like we should have gotten a Blade TV show. I guess Mahershala Ali might consider himself too big of an actor for, you know, streaming TV. But I do feel like a Blade TV show would have been a better narrative. They could have been, like, maybe not like a whole Buffy the Vampire Slayer thing, right? But, like, a True Blood, no.
Tie it in with, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. They could almost do, like, Hellboy with the paranormal investigations
right? Make it more, like, more dark and gritty, like Luke Cage meets Supernatural, right? And I guess that might have been a little tough. Yeah, I just said...
That's kind of like Lovecraft Country.
So, like, I just said that Mahershala Ali is too big of an actor for network TV, completely forgetting that he started out in Luke Cage, right? Like, I'm not going to say started out.
He didn't start out, but he was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage,
right? So, like, now it comes full circle. He's the, you know, hero of this series, right? He gets to be the lead actor instead of the villain. I feel like that would have hit better than the movie, and they wouldn't have... Obviously, they're trying to fit too much into the runtime and the budget that they're allotted. And now they've been sat down by the studio.
They're just like, let him kill vampires.
That's it. Right, they've literally been sat down by the studio and been like, it's just
like, we're not even gonna be overbearing on you guys for this. Just keep it simple, let Mahershala Ali be badass and do his best Wesley Snipes impression and kill vampires.
Literally, he just has to be better than Wesley. That's it, that's all we're asking. And that's crazy, right? Because I feel like that's not normal from what we get from Marvel movies. But I mean, hey, after the run that they've had, you know, it's looking like Drake season.
One last media update. So they're rebooting The Naked Gun.
The O.J. Simpson,
Leslie Nielsen will be played by Liam Neeson.
The O.J. Simpson, Leslie Nielsen will now be Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson will be his partner. And my only response when I said this was, O.J.'s character has to be played by Jonathan Majors.
I mean, listen. Jonathan isn't as bad as OJ at this point, right?
Would be hilarious.
I'm not black, I'm Jonathan. Right?
No, I think he's doing the opposite of that. Yeah, he's absolutely. I want myself a Rosa Parks.
Or Megan Good. So, keeping on trend with what we were discussing earlier is, why the remake? You're telling me that there is no script sitting on anybody's desk right now that is as good as The Naked Gun? Like,
I'm gonna push back on this.
Go ahead.
Feel like The Naked Gun is a totally appropriate remake right now. It's just gonna... It has the opportunity to go way more scathing.
Do you think they'll do that, though? Because the whole reason we're talking about this is currently it is being discussed. Yeah, no, I don't know, bro. I don't know if I agree with that, man. Because I'm just like, this is the reason why Hollywood is so stagnant, and they keep just doubling down on it, and it doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm sure that with the right investment money behind it, this movie could actually turn out to be something worth seeing. But
like a Drake album?
Not if he keeps throwing fucking AI.
Honestly, never mind.
I, however, feel like this is the reason why Hollywood is stagnant. And despite the potential upsides to a Naked Gun reboot, it does not deter the fact that until Hollywood starts investing in some new, fresh ideas, we will continue to see the downtrend in numbers in box office ticket sales and seats, or butts in seats, right? Like, obviously, I'm not going to go anywhere to fucking see a movie when I can stream Beverly Hills 4 from my, or whatever the fuck new Beverly Hills movie
is. What Netflix 12-episode series stars Drake? Make up a Netflix series that stars Drake for 12 episodes, 48 minutes each.
So are we, we're doing a title?
It has to star Drake.
Why are you so passionate about
this? Because the machine will insist that Drake gets the limelight. So make a show for Drake. But he can't be Drake, and he also cannot be in a wheelchair.
It's obviously a network adaptation of 21 Jump Street, where Drake gets to be around high school. Because...
Not the direction I thought you were going to go. Even more savage than I thought you would have done. And I got nothing after that.
And we can keep Channing Tatum, but Drake is now doing Jonah Hill's role.
Ice Cube is replaced by Eminem.
No, Ice Cube is replaced by Bourbons.
Is that 50... scarier or less scary?
By 50 Cent. Cube is replaced by 50 Cent since 50 is the sign of his team Drake.
That's definitely scarier.
I feel like this TV series still works, though.
The fact that it's not out of the realm of possibility that Drake might get a Netflix series strictly as promotional material. Materia is what they put in the Buster Sword.
I did hear rumors that he has a show coming to HBO Max or Max. Are we calling it HBO Max though? Are we doing the Twitter X thing where we're just like refusing to call it the new thing? Anyway, doesn't matter.
I'm more fine with Max than I am X.
There is a good amount of substantial evidence to suggest that Drake may be trying to transition away from his musical career back into a more on-screen persona. But we will give you all more updates of that later on, because Drake...
This is a rapidly developing story.
Transitioning back into acting is just more proof that
None of this is normal, but what should be normal is buying all your Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Flesh and Blood, Magic the Gathering, board games, card game supplies at TokenMTG.com and use the promo code Ziggy to get 10% off of your order. And once again, shout out to our patrons, Enraged Peacock and Austin Square.
And if you enjoyed kicking it with us this episode, you can become a patron at the Flood Pod, and that's the Flood Pod on everything, and that is
on everything.
And we'll be back at y'all next week with more hot takes.
Deuces!
Deuces.
Look, it's a flood!
It's a flood.
It's flooding!
Get away!
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
Talk about
it is
Black
time
Sun.
To t-